Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
What's up? Hey friends, welcome to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm Matthew Ramsey, Rummy Cube Artisan, Caffeine Hardliner, and Comfort Food Courtesan.
I'm Eddie Kim, proud DCist, Subway Sandwich Artisan, and Believer.
wait, two artists in the same? Okay, nice.
Yeah, and artistic. And Believer that tricks aren't just for kids. Every week, we share a shift drink and swap war stories from behind the line with chefs, bartenders, bakers, and brewers, and pretty much anyone who touches this all-encompassing industry. This week, we are joined by Carlos Raba, nixtamalizer and chief co-owner of Bar Cavell in the Remington neighborhood of Baltimore.
How you doing, guys?
How you doing? Thank you for coming down. You just came off a train. Yeah. You came straight here. Carlos has... You know, even though the restaurant has been open since 2015, recently he was in town for the Star Chefs award ceremony. He shared a stage with Tom Cunanan for Rising Star in the area. Baltimore City Paper named you best chef.
Representing Baltimore,
2017.
Yeah.
Nice. So we're very happy to have you.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me, and happy to be in D.C. I'm from this area. I went to high school in Silver Spring.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I went to Blair High School, so I'm around this neck of the woods, yeah.
It's kind of been fun to watch how much DC has changed and the DC area has changed in that time period. I can only imagine since what you said, 17.
Yeah, man. I graduated on high school from Blair in 2002. So yes, so I came to this area 2000 from Mexico, straight from Mexico to DC. So yeah, I seen the ugly, and now it's beautiful. I mean, it has changed so much.
Yeah,
and then after high school, I believe. You pretty much jumped right into working in the area and at Whole Foods and kind
yeah, of I was first. So yeah, it was kind of weird because I was at Blair High School and I was just with my brother and I was looking for a job and my brother was like, "Yo, I work in Nordstrom's, come and sell shoes with me." And so I sell shoes in Nordstrom's for about 3 years.
Man. By the way, your vibe totally says Nordstrom's shoes.
So man, it was fun. Let me tell you that selling shoes. It was fun. So, and then I got tired, and then my brother's like, "Hey, man, is this company?" It was Freshfields at the time.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
right.
And then John Mackey got it acquired, and he was like, "You should work for them. They like real cool stuff with food, and they take care of their people." So I was like, okay. So I work in Whole Foods for about 8 years. Yeah.
I forgot about the whole Freshfields thing.
That's yeah, man.
Can I go on a little tangent about Nordstrom's? Because my sister used to sell shoes at Nordstrom's at Tyson's Corner. And I believe another close friend of mine also used to sell shoes. Apparently, it's a pretty bank job on getting a lot of money pretty early on.
You go hustle, sell shoes, and you get a commission of the shoes that you sell.
Did you have clients?
You have, dude. I worked in kid shoes, and I had a person coming in buying 20 pairs for the kids.
No way.
Without trying. Swipe the card, send them to them, and then they will send back what they don't use.
Kid shoe consultant. You can add that to your...
Please.
Yeah. Your repertoire. That's amazing.
Yeah, man.
I worked as a fashion consultant. I'll put that in quotation marks.
A fashion consultant.
When I was living in New York. And I would have a guy that would come in, and this was like when Von Dutch was big, and he would buy like hundreds of Von Dutch hats and bring them back to Japan. And like it was just crazy, the commission on those things. Anyways...
You look like a guy who does wear hats.
I dabble.
He does.
I dabble. All right. Well, before we dig too far into it, we got some week in review stuff.
Well, we just celebrated Chinese New Year. Happy Year of the Pig. Specifically, well, actually, I'm a water pig, but this is the year of the golden pig.
You got to love that year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. And you just did a collaboration with Ekeben up in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
We celebrated the Chinese New Year, and then we did a collaboration with a Mexican and Chinese food little mashup. It was great, man. Oh,
What did you cook?
Made the one that I liked the most. I made dumplings. We made barbacoa dumplings, and I made a birria broth. So it was like tomatoey and delicious. And Steve Ekiban, he made delicious dough for his dumplings, and I made a pork belly too. Made a BBL style, and then we made a sandwich with that, and then some yuca balls, man. We made some masa with a boiled yuca, and then we stuffed it with cheese and fried it, and they came up delicious.
Sounds great.
Now you say BBL style. Are you guys cooking with a pib?
No. BBL style. BBL style comes from like the barbacoa and the BBL style. Everything comes from putting something into an oven or doing that kind of cooking.
Yeah.
But the BBL comes from Yucatan, which they use achote. Achote is a paste that is made from annatto, which is a seed from a tree. So it's a whole process of these. They use oranges and stuff. But pibil is from Yucatan Peninsula. So it was the style. It was like the sauce.
Yeah. That achiote sauce.
So other than that, man, it was delicious, man. We got a lot of love from Baltimore. That's the community of Baltimore was so supportive, man. It was like a block party outside Yucky Van.
Well, I know DC loves you guys, so I can only imagine how much Baltimore loves you. Okay.
What else happened this week?
We were there's a lot going on about Yelp, and it's kind of it seems like it's sunset fade.
Yeah, the super user is no longer important.
Elites are diminishing. Thankfully,
specifically Instagram is taking over. People are getting their food news and food reviews straight from Instagram.
Yeah,
because I mean.
Which I don't
with
know.
Food photography.
Yeah, I think to some level, restaurants are still being kind of held hostage to these. If not elites, these Instagram influencers now who are
demanding
some kind, stuff.
I mean, it's just changing. I think it's just adapting to.
Do you guys have to deal with that at all?
We all deal with that, yeah. Man. And just how you take it, the feedback, and you have to take the feedback of everybody. Sometimes it doesn't come like some people don't like Yelp, some people don't like people on IG, but you have to respect everybody's opinion, I guess. And I guess, see as it is, and it evolves, man. He's good. Yelp, now Instagram.
Yeah, well, everybody's got an opinion.
And you might be particularly sensitive to this. Eater wrote an article a couple of weeks ago about someone would scan through Yelp and kind of did an analysis of all of the reviews, and it tended to be very, very... People who talked about authenticity the most were actually people who had no right to talk about authenticity, who aren't from the areas that the cuisine or the food is originally from.
Yeah, but I think with that it's two different ways that you can take it. Somebody can be like, for example, I'm Mexican. So yes, I want to be authentic. I want to show my traditions, my culture. But you have some people from the States that they don't have nothing to do, man, with the Mexican culture, but they still passionate about the culture and they still respect the culture, which doesn't make it wrong to still try to do something or a concept that is not from them, but they still passionate and still have the sense of passion to do something. You know what I'm saying? I think it's a confusion sometimes with people about what it's actually to be like legit and stuff like that.
And we see it here quite a bit in DC. People are super passionate. I mean, that's kind of the nature of our city, a bunch of A-type personalities that obsess over little things. Do you see that in Baltimore quite a bit as well?
I mean, yeah. I mean, my business partner, Lane, she's extremely talented and she does different stuff. She does Japanese, Mexican, because that's the passions that she found. She went to Japan and she just opened a place, Fat and Son, and they do sake. And then the same thing with Oaxaca and the whole little Mexican passion that she had. It's the same thing. And for example, I'm Mexican, I'm passionate, but she's passionate about something that she picked from a country. So I think it's the same to DC and to people that they do other stuff.
For our listeners, Lane Harlan is Carlos's business partner at Bar Clavel, but she also owns WC Harlan, a very small cocktail bar right around the corner, and
it's awesome.
Newly Fade and Sonnen, which I think it's Finnish or Danish. And I've been following them quite a bit because I learned quite a lot of about sake and natural wine from Lane.
Yeah, the passion
nut about it.
Yep.
Yeah. What else? Black Cat. The Red Room has reopened upstairs on the second floor.
Welcome back.
Kind of a staple of the city. The bottom floor closed down on December 31st, but now the upstairs
has been renovated. That's where the concerts are, right?
Yes,
the concerts,
yeah. Yes, yeah, I'm sure you've been to a couple.
Oh, yeah. And next to it is, what is the restaurant next to it? Of Black Cat.
Oh,
Massa 14?
I think so, yeah.
Well, El Centro, too, yeah.
El Centro, yes.
Yeah, I remember when that place opened. It was some hot dance parties downstairs.
Everybody went to those, yeah. Anybody from DC has been there.
Also, I guess to celebrate the newest outpost in Osaka, Taco Bell Japan is serving.
I love me some Taco Bell. Sorry, but I love Taco Bell.
Do you?
Oh,
yeah.
Dude. Yeah.
They're doing some kind of pseudo Mexican riffs on popular savory okonomiyaki burritos.
Whoa.
I can do that.
Yeah. It sounds pretty good.
Okay.
Stuffed with sliced cabbage, red peppers, meat and cheese. Well,
actual vegetables in their burritos.
I'm going to go ahead and say it's probably actual meat in there, too. Oh. And then covered with a savory sauce.
Hey, live mas, live fresh.
Oh, man.
That sounds delicious.
It does.
Half of our news is always just like what's going on in the fast food world.
Well, in addition to fast food, I guess, what are we drinking right now? Carlos, you wanted beer.
I have beer, man. I drink beer and mezcal. I'm pretty straightforward. I like a light beer, a pilsner. We're drinking a Victoria. And, yep, thank you.
Now, Victoria is kind of hard to find in D.C.
It is. You had to go to a specific store, Grand Kata in the Shaw neighborhood.
Which I love. If you guys are looking for, they have a great white, great natural wine selection, but also mezcals, agave.
And Victoria.
Yeah, Victoria's a good beer, man. I like Victoria, so I like Pacificos are really good too. Yeah. So it's a light beer. Go easy on a warm weather. We don't have that right now, but
I feel like Victoria is like the PBR of like Mexico City.
And he went away for years in Mexico. He went away probably for like 10 years because Modelo and Pacifico took over and they didn't produce it as much. And then it's making a comeback. It's a good beer.
It's back, baby.
And Mexico is going through a pretty huge craft. Everywhere is going through a craft beer movement. But Mexico has
Mexico,
quite a few brands.
You know, it's very hard in Mexico for craft breweries to make because the monopoly of big, big beers like it's Modelo, Corona, Dos Equis, they make it hard for small brewers to do what you see in the United States. I mean, you go to a city and you see 6-7 people brewing on the same area. I mean, just take in Baltimore, we have 4 brewers. So that's easy here because I think the market gives where in Mexico is very, most of the bars make the deals not with liquor, but with beer.
Yeah.
So it makes it real hard for a brewery to come and say, hey, sell my beer. They're going to be like, oh man, no right. man.
Well, and there's also, I mean, I know with mezcal in particular, there's export, like a lot of export laws that are kind of hard to navigate. I remember when I was in Oaxaca, though, there was a lot of craft breweries that were kind of like sneaking up on the edges, and they were kind of.
But we don't see many.
But we don't see them up
any
here.
Of them up here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. Like from where I'm from in Culiacán, I have a couple of buddies that they started making their own beer, and right now they're selling it, but it's hard for them to get it out of Mexico too and make a big name because the market is so saturated by the Mexican beers already.
Yeah.
Now the natural wines and a lot of the wines that are made in Mexico are starting to make their inroads into the States. I mean, you picked up a bottle today in addition to this beer.
Beachy's great. Yeah.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah. that's a good wine.
Do you see your cooking pairing well with
Beachy, yeah. Lane had it for a couple of months in Clavel, but we sell a lot of great wines because Lane has and they have a great program of wines. But I mean, yes, it's like a Mexican. Nobody thinks about Mexican wine, but yeah, Beachy's does. They have an orange one that I love too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So yep.
Yeah, but I don't see you drinking a glass of. Natural wine after a round
with my wife watching TV. Yeah, so that is true. Yeah, I do drink wine. I do enjoy a good glass of wine, but I do enjoy more beer. But yeah, my wife bring a bottle of wine and have to drink it, man.
Now, do you have a go-to expression of mezcal that you're sipping alongside?
I do our house mezcal all the time. I do a búho mezcal, but we have great mezcal is
so
okay. There is so many of them. Like I cannot point out to tell you, yes, this is my favorite. But when I do, I do El Búho and I do a Victoria. But please, if you want to come and try mezcal, come to Clavel. We have a tasting room.
Well, let's. Should we do our little game?
Oh yeah, we do have a little game. Yes. This game is new to Carlos, so we had to go through the rules. I think everyone who listens already know how we play our little game that we call Two Truths, One Lie.
Two truths, one lie.
All right, Carlos, fire away.
I went to a Catholic school as a kid and proceeded to get kicked out of 8 to 10 different schools until I was 15.
It's a lot of schools.
I met my wife at Whole Foods Market when I was a store team leader, and I had to fire her to date her.
That's amazing twist.
I graduated.
It's bittersweet.
Yeah. And the last one is I graduated on top of my class in my culinary school.
Which, well, should we ask questions?
Yeah.
So we were reading a little bit about your bio, and you've hopped around to lots of different sections at Whole Foods. So what section did your wife work at?
She was a cashier, man. Okay. She's the one that's like, oh, you having this for lunch? And I was like, yeah, look at the cheese and soda. So like, yeah, so.
You'd carve up some selects.
She used to pass my office, and she was like, you still have some of those chips, you know? Like, yeah, I have chips. You want to come? And she sit down and have chips. And then I was like, how can I feel in love with you? Like,
shit. So romantic over quinoa chips and hummus.
That one's definitely true.
And I did have to fire her, man. She invited me out, and I say, I can't. I cannot date you. And then she came late, and I was like, sorry. And then I was like, can I call you? I was like, yep. So then we could marry, man.
Right on. That's amazing.
I kind of want to say that I don't remember you reading that you went to culinary school.
I don't either. That's what I was going to say.
So we're going to say that was a lie.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
What?
Research works.
I wasn't good at schools, man. I the other one, it was true, right? I got kicked out probably of 10, 15 schools when I was younger because I was too hyperactive. And
I almost got kicked out of Catholic school as well.
So I feel much better now.
I think the world needs to hear that story at some point.
I went to Catholic school for 4 years. I did not fit in. I did not fit in. I got in trouble all the time. But I eventually tested out and went to a different magnet school in Fairfax County.
There we go.
But I was on the path of getting kicked out.
Magnet. Awesome. Yeah. When I was in Blair, I was looking up at the magnet kids. They're like, damn. So smart.
And you mentioned before, so you came from Mexico to the Silver Spring area?
I came here, yeah. I came as a refugee for political asylum. My mom was, back when she was a reporter, she got persecuted, and we chose here because she knew some people and some agencies that could help us. Yeah, I was here. I went to high school here. Like you guys mentioned, I work in Whole Foods. I work in also a giant, Ahold USA. I opened stores for them here. O Street, you guys, the O Street giant?
Yeah.
I opened that whole thing. Wow. So, yeah.
Isn't that like the most like popular?
Yeah, right now, yeah. But remember O Street 10 years ago, it was nothing
there.
Oh,
it changed.
No, even 5 years. Yeah, 5 years ago, there were like shootings in O Street. But yeah. So, yeah, that and then Clavel, man. I've been doing Clavel now for almost 4 years since we opened it. And extremely happy, man. Extremely happy with what we
did
have.
Did you jump straight from the corporate lifestyle, Whole Foods and the giant? Had you worked in restaurants? Did you open restaurants before?
No, I never.
So Clavel was a total.
When I was in Nordstrom's, I worked in the cafe for like 6 months. Okay, but other than that, no.
Shoes,
man.
And cafes.
Yeah. So no, other than that, it was just I butcher. I did fish. I was a cheesemonger. So. I was very exposed to
that. So you had all the tools.
Yeah, and then the business size that you needed to own in a restaurant. People think it's just a cookie on that, but it's a business, man. It's so many things that you have to take care of. And the passion for food, I mean, it's been since I was a little kid with my family. I always grew up in a family-oriented house where we got together like many people do and eat, man. We ate and ate.
I mean, you were raised by, in addition to your mother, but five aunts?
Four aunts. So it's five of them. Yeah. Yes. So my dad passed on 83, and my mom moved to the north of Mexico with her sisters, and we had a compound with five houses, and it was everybody against everybody, man. Like,
this is what I wanted to talk about, living in this kind of, everyone has their own house, but everyone is all up in each other's shit.
Yeah, man, it was amazing.
But you're learning, how to cook, though, man, from everyone.
My aunt is still there right now, as we speak. Like, I just went last year, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just went 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Same houses.
Amazing.
Well, it's amazing, and it has the bad stuff, too, and the good stuff. But, I mean, we have extremely close family, meaning with my cousins and my aunts. But answering the question, yeah, man, it was tough, and that's where the family gathering, passion for food. My uncles had restaurants in the 80s. So I always grew up on that, and I always been exposed. And I always see a side of systems and passion. If you know how to put systems and if you're passionate about something, I think you can have a product because you have the tools to do something.
Wow. And this is all in Sinaloa?
Sinaloa, Culiacán. Yeah, Culiacán, Sinaloa.
Okay. How do you bring that kind of regional cooking into what you do at Clavel?
I try to do it through the ceviches, okay? Because the ceviches in Culiacán, Sinaloa, there's no better food in the world. I'm not going to take you and than Sinaloa. Ceviches, raw ceviches,
yes.
Cook. So it's more in the ceviche side, and the tacos are from all over. Like I was saying, cochinitas from Yucatán, you have barbacoas from the south, but in the north of Mexico is a lot of grilling, okay? As you see Guadalajara in the top, you're going to see ranchers, ranch, a lot of cattle. In the south is less of that. It's more plants, more tortilla, more barbacoas. So I have to, because I don't have a grill in Clavel, I have to express myself through a ceviche. So I try to stay true to their ceviches and how they taste.
Right on.
So the people that come from Culiacán here, they try it like, yes, that's the way it should be served. And when you guys go over there or you have a chance to go, it's like, I have had this and it was at Clavel. So that's the way it's supposed to be.
Right on.
And the ceviches came kind of second because it was part of an expansion. Clavel recently, I guess last year,
What happened was that we started with ceviches, a number of ceviches, mm-hmm. and some tacos. And we had the chance to expand, and that gave us a chance to expand the menu as well. So we focus on putting more ceviches and also on the tasting room, on the tasting bar that we have at Clavel that you can do Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I think. So it was more into get more seats and be able to have more options in the menu. So that's where the ceviches came. When we opened the second wing of Clavel, we put probably 7 tostadas to 8 tostadas on the menu.
Right on. And Sinaloa, that's a coastal state, so...
It is, yeah.
I can only imagine how much...
Have you been there?
I haven't yet.
You have to go, man. It's they have... if anybody's looking to go to Sinaloa, because everybody's like, oh, it's dangerous. Baltimore is dangerous. DC is dangerous.
Right.
All cities are dangerous.
Yeah.
Go to Mazatlán. Mazatlán is a port, and right now it's the Mexico tourism, they put in a lot of money into Mazatlán. It's beautiful right now, man. It's I'm gonna start crying, man. I want to go back. So you got to go check Mazatlán. That's a port that not a lot of people know, and it's beautiful.
Right on. That's a good tip.
Yeah.
We're gonna step out for a moment. When we come back, we're gonna dive a little bit deeper. I'm sitting here with Eddie Kim,
and with Carlos,
and you're listening to Shift Drink. Thank you.
you're tuned in, you're listening to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio. On my right is Matthew.
We just cracked another round of Victoria's over here.
Yes, sir.
We probably should have bought 2 6-packs. and we are joined by Carlos Rabe, executive chef at Bar Clavel up in Baltimore.
Baltimore, yes.
Baltimore.
During the break, I've actually never done this before. I got to touch cauliflower ears.
Yeah, man. It was nice and warm from the headphones. That's why it was bothering me. And I was like, you want to touch it? You were like, hey, let me touch it.
Now, cauliflower ears is not a food stuff. It's not produce.
It has nothing to do with food.
No.
No, it comes.
It has to do with jiu-jitsu.
I'm
extremely passionate about Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I've been doing it for about 10 years. I'm a brown belt right now. And yeah, man, it's an art. Martial art that just changed my life drastically, like the way that I express myself, the way that I react to issues. So yeah, I've been doing it for a long time, very passionate. It's cooking, my family, and jiu-jitsu. That's what I do.
I feel like there's a lot of crossover between martial art and cooking. There's the discipline and the applications that can be used.
And yeah, man, I was talking to you like previously about systems, and I think cooking is very systematical. And jiu-jitsu is very systematical as well. It's always a thought or a process of thinking of steps that you have to do to make a dish. The same thing when you're trying to submit somebody. There is technique that you need to know and movements that you have to do.
I like that you call it submitting somebody.
Yeah. So
Eddie Kim, I will submit you later.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, it's very, I don't think he wants to be submitted. No. He doesn't look comfortable with that.
Is there a style of MMA where you just run around this ring and tire the other person out?
Runaway MMA? Yeah. Yeah. Like, see you later. Peace. So, yeah, man, yes, something, and actually right now I was talking to you guys. I'm trying to get into a project that is a non-profit and is to provide kids with a safe environment and provide them with jiu-jitsu and provide them with yoga and maybe some kickboxing. But I'm working with a friend of mine that has a Guardian gym in Oakland, and I'm trying to open a Guardian gym in Baltimore.
Cool.
Which it will get kids, inner city kids with lower incomes, and bring them, give them a safe environment, feed them a taco or a burrito, a place for them to have a clean towel and a clean shower. Do some homework and go home.
Cool.
Tire, man. So, yep, looking forward for that probably in the next 8-9 months is going to be a goal of mine.
Now, as a chef and an operator, I mean, how much time do you actually have to devote to?
It's funny that you say that because it's a lot of people have asked me the same question, and I train and I compete jiu-jitsu every 3-4 months. So I train 4 to 5 times a week, sometimes 6, and they trainings that they an hour and a half and 2 hours. So how am I going to be able to do it? I'm going to drive 30 minutes to Conquest with Vicente Jr. and I'm going to dedicate the time to teach kids and still do my passion, man. On one block I'm going to have my taco homies and then my jiu-jitsu homies. It's going to be amazing, man.
It sounds like a super band.
Yeah. So I mean, if there's anything, there's, you know, sport and martial arts and then food are both great at bringing people together to do collaborations.
And it's a funny story. I don't know if you guys related to the Nick Diaz brothers. They fight UFC there. So the way that they started MMA and boxing is because a guy used to go to the gym and tell them, come and I buy your burrito after boxing. So they went for 5 years just because they wanted a burrito, man. You know what I'm saying? They were hungry. There was no food in their house. And yeah, they were like looking at each other like, what do you want to do, dog? It's like, man, let's go boxing. And then we get a burrito.
Yeah.
And then look at them. The world champions, UFC. Wow. Both of them. So there's always, man, something, a story. Food and exercise.
I crave burritos all the time. So me too. Maybe I have a fighting chance.
You're going to incorporate that into your restaurant.
we'll take a quick left-hand turn here. I was reading on your website. You guys... fifth generation flour tortillas.
Well, the flour tortillas were...
The burrito being my non-sequitur there.
Yeah, but that's the thing, that you take my tortilla, you're going to wrap it into a burrito because it will break because because it's very... It's soaked. It's not soaked, but it's not as dry as one that you guys are used to. So, yeah, man, I've seen those tortillas being made since I recollect. I have recollection. My grandmother, my great-grandmother did them. My aunts do them. My cousins do them. Now I do them. And Lucas and my little girl, Camila, they're going to do them.
And so, I mean, there is a misconception that, you know, flour tortillas are only a gringo thing. But in northern Mexican culture.
Northern Mexico. So they say the story is the burritos came from the miners, okay, in Mexico. So the little wife was like, Jose was going to go and work in the mine, and she used to make him a burrito with machaca. Machaca is dry Mexican beef. So like a jerky, but they shred it, and they put it on a flour tortilla because it's much better cold. You know what I'm saying? So they used to put them into a little wrapper, put them on their belt, go to the mines, and then they will pull the burrito out, man. And they will eat the burrito with machaca. So no beans, no wag, no anything else. No. It was just simple, and the tortilla de harina has been around always, man. Quesadillas.
Now, have you tried to recreate that burrito?
I'm going to try to make machaca, man. It's in one of my... But that's... It's like you have to... You have to do it right. When you do it, you have to do it right or don't do it. You know what I'm saying? So space, you have to have a whole process to have it. So you have to have a product that is worth of telling, God, man, I had the machaca and it was the bomb. Right. So yeah, at some point I want to do it.
Right on. And we kind of off air, we're talking a little bit how you kind of fell in sync with Lane. There's, a familial relation there.
Mm-hmm. So... How we met is my brother and Tiffany. Tiffany is Lane's sister. They've been together for about 13, 14 years. They have kids together, and we're family. So that's how, I guess, Lane got exposed to some side of Mexico, which is the food side that she went to the compound. She's been there. She knows my grandmother. She knows my aunts. She knows my whole family for a long time, way before Clavel. So she was like, dog, your family can cook, man, and you can cook. So what's up? Let's open a restaurant. So she convinced me. My wife was extremely supportive. She was like, you have to do it.
And you were working at Giant at the time?
I was managing a Giant in No Street. I opened, like I say, I opened and I was managing it. And it was... It's hard when you are so productive and you're producing something but you don't see what you're producing because it was a large corporation. You know what I'm saying? I was helping. I knew, but it's been around forever, so I didn't see a meaning of what I was doing. So it went right into feeding into something that I'm happy, which is cooking. Lane, let's open a restaurant, something you're passionate about. Cooking. So
it worked back perfectly. Into that creativity.
Yeah, man, and she was smart because I didn't know I was this creative, man, and he just came with poking and always pressuring and you can do more, we can do this or we can do that. And my wife was like, dude, just keep doing it. It's a passion that I have done for 3 years, and every time I do like a pop up that you were mentioning, it's just a little more to the creativity I want to put into cooking.
I mean, how would you, you know, to expand on your creativity, are you familiar with any other cuisines or something you want to learn or want to incorporate into what you're doing?
I try to get familiar with somebody. I'm a visual person, so I try to get exposed to the kitchen through other people and their passions. So, for example, I go with Hershey's. Hershey's in Baltimore does great pasta. And I go with him and I drink a beer on the back and I see him making pasta and a very visual person. So I start learning, I start playing with it, do a pop-up with them, show him some of my techniques. He shows me some of his techniques. So it's this whole culture of working together that we have in Baltimore that it helps a lot to be creative. Like with Stevie, he's Chinese. He was like, yeah, man, we do... The way that my dad used to do it is like this. So what about if you do it like that? They're like, okay, let's put a twist into it. Let's see what happens. And that's how collaboration should work. And that's how you get creative.
I mean, and you mentioned you've worked with several chefs in Baltimore. And I think in one article you mentioned that there's a unique culinary talent that's up there that might not necessarily get the spotlight as we do down here. What do you see? Any differences? Any kind of influences that could be benefited from up there?
I mean, yeah, there's amazing restaurants in like I told you, Hershey's. You have Hershey's that is great. There's a lot of good food in Baltimore, but I think it's the bad reputation that the city had. Like, you didn't hear from D.C. 20 years ago has been this restaurant tour city. No, this happened, correct me if I'm wrong, but this happened in the past 5-8 years. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The food industry came. And I think the stage hasn't come to Baltimore, but there's always
there. Yeah,
yeah, but they're there, but there. They haven't been found, man. It's like...
And I'll say that about D.C. is I think a lot of chefs will say the talent has always been here. It's just now we have better PR.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's always good. Like, I remember next to the McDonald's in Ann's Morgan, there was a great Mexican little place that I used to go all the time. It's not there anymore, but there's always been good food in D.C., man. Yeah. And it's just a spokesperson. Right now, what you hear about Baltimore is not very positive stuff about a great city. A great city that has great restaurants, it has great people, and the community of Baltimore, I'm so embracing it because it's like Mexicans, man. They're like, yeah, homie, come here. Like, everywhere I go, man, it's like, hey, man, what's up? How you doing? Or like, everybody's trying to work with each other, so which is it's pretty cool. Right.
I mean, off the top of your head, any place that we should go to somewhere in town? I go there pretty often.
You can go to Ground and Griddle in the Art House. I have coffees there every morning. One of my friends opened Orto with a pretty... Stefano, he's cooking on the back. He's a pretty cool guy, too. Chef's Hugo. It's a lot of stuff, man. Go to Chef's Hugo. Have a $15 burger, okay, and lunch. And it's gonna be a French onion burger. The best burger you have, man.
Now, Matthew just had a burger maybe an hour and a half ago. Can you tell us about your burger?
Why do you...
Please?
He's already posted all of our social media. I had to grab a Big Mac before we came in.
Oh, really?
Speaking of the Adams Morgan McDonald's, recently refurbished, touch screens and all.
Please tell me, how was that special sauce?
It was special. It's always spot on.
you know what you do with the Big Macs? You take the bun in the middle out and then boom, and make it a double.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh,
that's what I do all the time. It's delicious.
No, I'm a purist. Authenticity.
I think there's a way to order like that, too. There's a secret menu thing.
It's delicious. I love it. Why do people don't like the secret sauce? And
I don't know, man. I think it's everything.
I think it's delicious, yeah.
You were talking collaborations. Do you ever see yourself doing something in DC?
Yeah, man. I've been talking to me and Tom have always talked on
backside. Tom.
Yeah.
Kunanen.
So we've been always talking, but it's just like I was telling you, we're talking off air, and it's just the time. He's a busy man, and I'm a busy guy, but you just have to find the right time and the right moment that you can provide something that is a one experience only, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So yeah, we always talking. I always wanted to come here to DC to cook or have somebody from DC to Baltimore because it's the DMV, man. It's just we gotta support each other.
Super accessible. When you first opened Clavel, you mentioned that you were actually living right above it.
Yeah. So when all that conversations happened and we decided to open, so I quit my job, and then the house that I was renting, I left it, and I moved with Lucas was probably 6 to 7, my young son, he's 4 now, but he was 7 months old, and my wife and myself and my dog Pancho, so it was the 4 of us on top in the new city. Exciting.
It's a great dog name, by the way.
Pancho.
Yeah.
Man, it was crazy because it was crazy stories that happened there. It was good things and bad things. But one day we were like, me and my wife sleeping, and I had my aunt there because she came from Mexico. She came to help me to set up the kitchen, make sure we were doing everything good.
Right on.
So she came down and we were upstairs, and it was a cool apartment, two bedroom. It was everything fine, but we start hearing noises on the back. Somebody broke in.
Man. No way.
And I got my kid and my aunt and my wife, and I'm on boxers running around, man, trying to see what happened. And it was just somebody trying to break in, and then they jump off. And it was just crazy, man. You don't want to get into that circumstance.
No.
They're like, God damn it. And I think it was opening day too.
Oh, get
out of here. So I called my business partner, and they come, and they're like, "Wow, man, it's like so awful that it happened." We stay there, the three of us, the whole night, and it's like, "Oh, what else could happen?"
Yeah, dancing around.
So now, but I mean, but it's all in the sacrifice that you do to something. Now you go and sit down on a Saturday, see how many people are smiling in the restaurant, man, and it's just the whole point of yeah. creating something.
It's one of those things. I don't know. I'm looking into it in a concept, but it's like, how close do you actually want to live to your business is like something I see
it right on top of it.
Yeah. I feel like that's like a blessing and a curse, right? Like, you're there so you can't escape, but, you can also just kind of step
yeah,
up.
Yeah, but I think like 80% of business owners do that without a place to live. Mm-hmm. On top, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So they always there anyway. But I had a yeah. I had a bed and I had a kitchen and I had my wife upstairs.
Right,
and like,
right.
Sometimes it was beautiful, man. Because sometimes I was be able to cook and go and say give a hug to my kid and tell my wife that I love her and then go downstairs and cook again.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Which I can see as being yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool stuff that you can do too. It wasn't negative the whole way.
Right on. That's awesome. Well, let's skip to our next section. We call.
All right. Look at the enunciation out. Oh, right. We are going to do a little bit of a series of questions that we do called Rapid Fire.
Time for the payback.
Rapid Fire.
All right. So these are just kind of quick answers. We'll ask you a series of questions. Just
top
kind
of your head.
Tip of the tongue.
Yeah. This is great. Place that has ice cream in nearby the restaurant called the Charmery. What's your favorite flavor?
Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh my god, yes,
dude.
What is that about?
Dude, it's like he has Lucky Charms marshmallows and he blends sucaritas are Frosted Flakes in Spanish, and I'm crazy for those, and it's just like all into a vanilla ice cream. Oh,
I read you're a Fruity Pebbles fan.
Oh hell yeah, man!
Man, I am so into Fruity Pebbles.
Fruity Pebbles, Cocoa Pebbles. I make pancakes with them for my kids.
Ah, that's a great idea.
Come to have breakfast, man. I
fuck
it's like
yeah.
one of my when I had a kid, I was like, I want to do something with my kid, and the first thing that I wanted to do is fucking. Oh, sorry.
No, you can
go for it.
I was like, have fucking cereal with him. It was like, we were so much cereal in my family, like on the camp, and it was like cereal everywhere, like. So I would like, I want to see them.
I love cereal. My fiance does not at all. Like, she actually disdains cereal.
What's wrong with her?
I don't know. And then she recently had a birthday, and I made her a Fruity Pebble ice cream cake.
Mm.
And she'd never had Fruity Pebbles before.
Oh, they're so good.
It backfired on me.
When
completely.
You put them against your palate, then you like just taste the flavor.
It's citrus. Mm. It's sweet. It's delicious. Oh man.
Just to put Matthew a little bit more on the spot, you were telling me a story.
Fuck this.
What does your fiance do about ice cream that annoys you so much? That frustrates
you? I told you this in confidence. So she buys ice cream and then she won't eat it, and I have a compulsion towards eating ice cream, and she'll leave the ice cream in the freezer for me to not eat, and it's like a test of my will. And of course, I have no will, so I will finish the ice cream and then buy more and like eat down to that level.
Yep. But she always knows.
She knows. Yeah. So in the end result, I'm just fat and guilty.
With a little ice cream.
Yeah.
Can I go to your house? It's like,
yes, please. Yes, please. We'll have Fruity Pebble ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a go-to karaoke song?
A go-to karaoke song? Johnny Cash, The Ring of Fire.
Nice.
Yes.
What's your deathbed meal?
a good
best reaction
juicy ever. Steak with some grilled vegetables and a couple of tortillas. Yeah, man. A ribeye with like some like onions and some poblanos, and you put in a tortilla and make a taco and like die. It's good.
And then die?
Yeah, and then die. It's like after that, like I'd be good. Like I had a ribeye in my stomach.
Well, I guess speaking of death, so maybe this is the death you're marching off to. Would you rather jump out of an airplane knowing full well you have no parachute, or go down fighting a tiger?
Fight the tiger.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. He's going to kill me, but yeah. Fight the tiger.
Yeah.
You probably win, actually. I had this.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think so. But the fucking tiger.
Chances
like,
are the
man.
Tiger does not know jiu-jitsu. Yeah. Jiu-jitsu.
I was having this discussion at my bar last night. Do you have any favorite idioms or sayings?
Idioms or sayings?
Sayings, like stupid things that make no sense. I just learned about
tell me yours,
the phrase house tricks.
Yeah, you're all about tricks.
And so I just learned about tricks.
Another great breakfast cereal.
Do I have a saying? No, but they don't make sense, man, because they're in Spanish. Like if I say, tanto peca el que mata la vaca como el que le agarra la pata, you'll be like, what? So that's a saying.
Wait, what does that mean?
That the one who holds the leg of the cow that's getting slower seems as much as the one who's killing it.
Yeah.
did that make sense? So you know what I'm saying? So it's like my grandmother used to tell me that every time I got in trouble because he was with my cousin, I was like, man, it wasn't me. And she used to tell me that. It was like, it's the same scene, dog. It's like,
so, I love it.
I love that.
That kind of leads us to our next question. What is something mischievous that you've done?
Mischievous. Can you elaborate the mischievous?
Mischief.
Sneaky.
Sneaky.
Something sneaky.
Kind of naughty
that I done. Met her with my wife. I like, yeah. That's the only naughty thing that I have done.
As a kid, that's something like you would get in trouble for.
Here we go. Quick story. When we built a compound in Culiacan, it was in front of El Jardín Botánico, which is a botanic garden. There was a lot of cows. Cows used to poop, so they still poop, but they were poop outside the house.
Yeah.
And me and my other two cousins, we had fireworks, Mexican fireworks. Yeah. Barrilitos are called like TNT. They're not safety. They will take your arm off here. They don't say you never seen them. But there was a puddle of poop, and we decided to put it on top, okay? And we decided just to light it up and walk 3 feet away. We were covered in poop, man. Extremely covered. You would see the wall, and you will see the print of us with poop. So, yeah, that's probably one of the naughty things that I have done, man. So,
did you get any in your mouth?
Probably, yeah. And then we proceed to jump to the pool to clean ourselves up. So, yeah.
Oh, man.
If you had to give up one, would you give up music or would you give up movies?
Movies. Yeah. Yeah. I can sit down and just close my eyes and make a movie with some music, good music.
There you go. Yeah I think I'd give up movies too. I thought you were asking me, but.
what would you give up? What about you?
I'd give up music. I know I'm in the minority and people are going to hate me. Well, but I'd give up music.
Would the movies not have music?
Ooh.
No soundtracks?
I'd be okay with that.
Charlie Maybe. Chaplin?
I don't know. I can't imagine Last of the Mohegans without, yeah.
I was about to see a midnight showing of La La Land at East Street Cinema the other night, so I might be shooting myself in the foot.
Yeah, I mean, you like musicals. That's
I do
thing.
Like musicals.
I do love musicals, too.
Do you?
Yes, man.
Oh, man. We should go see one at the Hippodrome sometime.
Just tell me when, man. Make it a day.
Carlos is one of the most generous people, because when we met him last time we were up in Baltimore, you immediately invited us to crash in the upstairs. Room upstairs.
Yeah, because you guys came and it was like, I didn't know you were driving. And you're like, you guys were having so much fun. I'm like, please, man, just go upstairs. Nobody's going to break in, okay? Just go upstairs. Like, no, man, we rode the train. We're going to be good.
Yeah.
So, no, I really appreciate it, man. That's amazing of you guys going over there and you guys communicating with me like, oh, we're going. And the excitement to hear that you guys are going to Baltimore, it excites us too, man. So thank you for all the love, man.
I mean, when people travel, we want to go to really great places. And even though Baltimore is only 45 minutes away by train.
It's $8 train,
an
man.
$8 train ride. There's no reason why anyone shouldn't go up there.
Yeah, it's super easy.
Really great places. And you actually, it's a little bit of an extra show of appreciation to the chefs and the restaurant owners that you're willing to go a little bit out of your way, as everyone should do anyways.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You all about that?
Carlos, are you a baseball fan?
Yes, sir.
I see an O's hat.
Yes, good. I'm a big baseball. The north of Mexico is all about baseball. So, yes.
All right, so we're going to play a naughty game called Marry, Fuck, Kill.
Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Carlos, do you know this?
No.
Oh, okay.
All right. So basically, you're going to choose one to marry, even though you're already married, one to fuck, and one to kill. And Eddie Kim has so kindly chosen.
Kill. Right. And I chose this is baseball mascot edition of Marry, Fuck, Kill.
Okay.
So the Orioles mascot is the Oriole.
Uh huh.
Yes.
And
I grew up watching the Oriole. So I'm going to name three.
Uh-huh.
And then tell me if you don't know any of these.
Okay.
So Screech, the Nationals mascot. which Scrooge, is the Eagle.
The Nationals, yes. Okay.
Mr. Met for the Mets.
Yeah.
And Philly the Fanatic for the Phillies.
Ooh, I will murder the Philly one. Okay.
Classic Oreo response.
Yeah. Then you said the Twins. That's the one with a big, I think he has a baseball.
The baseball head.
Yeah, the baseball head as a head. I will marry him.
Marry Mr. Met. You mean Mrs. Met.
And I will fuck the hell out of the Eagle, man.
Awesome. I feel like Mr. Met might already be married.
Yeah.
To me.
Oh, yeah, if he has the name. Yeah. Oh, might be competition. I don't know. Carlos, thank you so much for joining us. Oh,
thank you for having us, man. Yeah.
For coming
thank
down you for having that, me. That yeah. train.
One thing before we go, we are trying to kind of ask it forward. So mm-hmm. for the next guest that we're going to have next week, we won't tell you who it is, but what is a question that we should ask him or her?
Do you like Mexican food? No? I don't know, man.
That's a good question right there.
Right?
No, no, everybody's okay, like, course, yes,
go simple. Go deeper. Get weird with it. We know we're putting you on the spot here.
Jesus Christ, yeah, you're putting me on the spot. I'm sorry, but what I will ask him? I will ask him...
So, last week, Carly Steiner from Himitsu was on our show.
Uh-huh.
And she asked what, Eddie?
You're putting me on the spot. We forgot. We will go back.
We're going to revisit last week's episode.
We will double
and
up.
This week's episode. Yes. And ask both those questions next week.
Yeah, please.
Okay. We'll pay it forward.
Yeah, but yes. I do apologize, okay. But I will ask him, what is the 6 years of you? Who's more sexy, you or you?
Oh, wow.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Okay. That's yes. great.
Yes.
That's
perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, there we go.
Thank I think you. Carly's about like hot dogs, maybe? Or maybe I'm just...
Listen to her. She eats a lot of hot dogs in Chicago. I want to go with her to Chicago and eat a lot of hot dogs, man. I did listen to a podcast.
Go to a musical with Eddie and then go eat some hot dogs with Carly.
Wow.
Well, thanks for joining us this week.
Thank you again.
Listeners, you can revisit this week's episode or previous episodes on iTunes or wherever you grab your podcasts, including Spotify. And find us on all the social medias as @ShiftDrinkDC.
Don't forget to throw us a review on iTunes or give us a review on Yelp. A special thank you to Jeffrey Lemereau for intro music. Actually, stay tuned because next week we will have a new intro song. And DJ RecTech for this hilarious sound effects. All right. Thanks for joining us, Carlos.
Until next week.
Thank you for having me.